In this episode, we hear from Anna Kennedy. Anna Kennedy is the founder of Anna Kennedy Online, an autism charity, and she talks about being a parent. Autism's Got Talent, which is an international show for children to showcase their talents, and what needs to change to make sure that all our children are heard. Find us on Facebook at Multischools. Okay, so Anna, what inspired you to set up Anna Kennedy Online?
I set up Anna Kennedy Online in 2009, and the reason being is after I set up the school for my sons, Patrick and Angelo, in 1999, and then at college, parents started writing to me about the difficulties that they were having that I had all of those years ago, sort of 1997, 1998, 10, 12 years down the line. I thought people are still struggling to try and get a diagnosis. They're still trying to find the right type of school. They're still searching for the right strategy and approach to work with children and adults. They're still looking for employment for us. All those sort of things that people I'd heard about and also I'd gone through myself, I thought, right, I need to try and do something so that people don't struggle and feel isolated and alone like I did. Yeah. So what I did was I decided to set up a website called Anna Kennedy Online. And the reason I did that, it was at first I wanted it to be like a magazine type website where people sat down at night when they had 5 minutes, you know, the glass of wine or a cup of tea and a piece of cake, whatever it was. And they were just searching through the website for information that might interest them or things that I might have found that, you know, I wanted to share with people. So it started off like that. And then people started writing into me about their children being bullied. So there was lots of different topics that were coming in. I thought, I need to have a little bit more meat to this website. I need to do a little bit more to it. So what I decided to do was set it up as a charity, which took quite a while. It was a long process. Paperwork was sent back to me and then I sent it back again. When you do these sort of things as well, you're thrown in at the deep end, you know, you've never done it before, you have, have a crash course in everything. It was like when we set up the school again, I'd never ever set up a school before, so I was doing research, what do I need to do, how do I advertise for a head teacher, all those sort of things that you're learning as you're going along. And we had our trustees, all parents of children who were on the autism spectrum or they might have been an autistic adult themselves. And then I wanted to do something with the anti-bullying campaign. So I started working with the Anti-Bullying Alliance and the NSPCC. And then from there, other campaigns started to grow. Then Autism's Got Talent was born on the back of the Give Us a Break anti-bullying campaign, because people were writing with me about being bullied online, within the community, at school, in the workplace. But then they started sharing videos of themselves, either some of the fantastic drawings that I'd done, paintings, teaching themselves how to play the guitar, whether acoustic or electric. They taught themselves off YouTube, poetry, you name it. It was just flying in from all over. And I thought, this is amazing stuff. We need to showcase this talent to the public. So I actually was at an award ceremony. It was Women of the Year. And on the next table to me, there was a lady called Debbie Moore, who was the founder of Pineapple Dance Studios. Yeah. And I always admired her because she was the first woman to get her company within the FTSE 100. Okay. So I went over to her table and I started chatting to her and told her about some of the ideas that I had. So then she said, oh, come to visit me in my office. So I did. And then from then, I met Maggie, who's the principal of Pineapple Performing Arts, and that's how Autism's Got Talent was born, because they invited me to a show. I started watching the show at the Mermaid Theatre, and I thought, this is where I want to do a show. I've got to do a show to showcase. And that's how Autism's Got Talent was born. That was in 2012, and it was absolutely amazing. The kids were like buzzing behind stage, so all those sort of things. Lovely memories as well. So
And I want to come back to the talent in a second as well, because that's obviously how we met, and we'll come on to that. I just want to touch on first though, before we go to that bit around the bullying, because you did mention it quite a lot. It's a very deep question, Anna, but why do you think children with autism and other learning disabilities are targeted and bullied so much? Because we still hear so much about it. What's the problem?
I think the problem is, number one, it's ignorance. I think number two, it's they're seen as someone different and it's something that they don't know anything about. Although I do think awareness raising is getting a lot better now with programs like, for example, the A Word, Employable Me, The Good Doctor. There's lots of different programs out there that are about autism or, you know, got autism sections in within the program. But I know that a lot of the parents that I speak to think, oh, it's not really like that for me. But I think what you've got to think about is they're never going to be able to get it the way your family is living, because everyone is so different. Everyone's lifestyle is so different. But what I think is, as long as they're talking about autism and keeping it within the public profile, people are talking about it. And for me, isn't that a positive thing? So training is key as well for schools. I think there's still, we've still got a long way to go where training's concerned, and it needs to be consistency in training. It's not like, oh, let's do one day of training and then that's it then. You know, I have spoken to teachers where they've only had like one day or they've had half a day. And it's just like, you know, I've been living with my sons for 20 odd years and I still don't know everything that there is to know about autism. And as I said, every child and adult are so different. They've got overlapping conditions. So I think that the more awareness raising that we can create, more autistic adults as well that can speak out about, you know, how it affects them. It is getting better, but we've still got a long way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, you know, charities like yourself and some of the work we're doing with schools, I think, is so, so important. You mentioned, so it is the other side of it and showing what children can do, of all abilities. And obviously your talent show is a fantastic example of that. We met because we held a talent show at Marketfield School and you came and very kindly judged for us. And you also met a young lad there who then went on and performed at your talent show, which is brilliant. So just tell us into a bit more detail about Autism's Got Talent and, you know, the way it works and why it's been so successful.
So obviously when I first started it, people were saying, oh, it's not going to work. And for me, like when people tell me things are not going to work, it makes me want to do it even more.
Yeah, I'm the same as you.
So how are you going to put a show together? How are these children and adults going to travel from all over the country? How are you going to do it in 2 days? How are you going to put it together? They've all got different needs. So I sat down with my team of volunteers. We talked about it, the best way of doing it. So like taking photographs of people behind stage, of the theatre. Obviously it was in 2012 then. So a lot of things weren't available online, if you like, get virtual tours now and all that sort of thing. So none of that was available. So we went into the theatre and we've always kept it at the Mermaid Theatre because it lends itself so well for our performers. It's got a huge foyer area where it's got a lovely fish tank. So if, you know, the kids or the adults want to sit down and have a bit of quiet time, it's got lots of dressing rooms because obviously you've got different people like, I want a dressing room on my own. Or you've got some that might be quite happy to share a dressing room with somebody else. So there's all those different things to take into consideration. We had a young man that basically he didn't want to rehearse because in his head, he was probably quite profoundly affected by his autism. In his head, if he sang in rehearsal, in his mind, I've sung today, so I'm going home now. So what we had to do was keep our fingers crossed that when he was behind stage with his mum or his dad, because they had to stand back by the side of the stage again, you know, adaptations that we make, that he would come out and sing. And he always did. And it was just like so amazing. And then after he finished, it's like, oh, I'm going home now. Off we go. But I think it's because my team now, it just works like clockwork. We're very flexible. All my volunteers, I give them two families each to look after on the day. So they all arrive. So they can either arrive the night before, so to meet us. So once they have actually gone through the technical rehearsal, they're happy with what it is that they've done, then they can go for a walk and come back. And I always say, be ready for 5 o'clock. Ready, because you're going to have photographs on the red carpet. Some of the celebrities come as well. And then 6 o'clock, the doors open, and then they're ready to perform for 7. And what I always find is that when they're actually performing within the technical rehearsal and when they perform at the night time, they step it up like 300%. They just like really blossom on stage. And what I love is that when they have finished their performance and they've got a standing ovation, they seem to walk off with their chest puffed out wide, if you like, and proud of what they've done. And it's like, I've done this. And then we always get every year people who have applied or performed, they always apply again because they love that feeling of being appreciated. Yeah. And also people who are on, say, sitting watching the show, some of them will say, I want to do that. I want to try that. So then you'll get some people who either start to learn how to play an instrument or they apply for next year. So we've had performers from Croatia, from Sweden, from America, from Canada, from Italy, from France. We've just had them from all over. So it's become really world known. We've obviously done a piece with Katie Price, who's Harvey's now one of our ambassadors. So I didn't know that he could play the organ, and she just mentioned it to me. So I said, oh, do you think he'd play it on stage? She said, oh, I'm sure he would. So, you know, because obviously he's got quite a few disabilities, Harvey, but he's such a character and he's such a lovely young man. And I just love his banter on stage with his mum. So, so he obviously appeared on the Mermaid Theatre with us. And then we've got the roadshow. We take it across the country. So, you know, we've been to Essex, we've been to Liverpool, we've been to St. Ives, we've been to Middlesbrough. We've been asked to take it overseas, but we just don't have the funding to do that. Yeah. We were asked once to take it to Las Vegas. I thought, oh my God.
Wow.
But it's just that, obviously, we're a small charity, rely on donations and people fundraising for us. So you'd need a lot of money for that. Because when we do it at the Mermaid Theatre, it does cost quite a bit because we pay for their hotel, for people that have to travel. If they're travelling from over abroad, we pay for 4 nights because obviously they have jet lag. We can't pay for travel because it would just cost far too much for 20 people. Yeah. Obviously, we've got to pay the theatre, the food and everything else, the technical people. So it does end up being quite expensive, but it's such a wonderful evening that it makes people feel great for like weeks on end. So, it's the highlight of my year.
It's really great to hear how that's kind of grown and internationally as well, I think, which is amazing. You mentioned in there as well about volunteers and ambassadors. And I know myself, running obviously the multi-schools here, that without them, we wouldn't be able to do half the things that we do, and that they really are our unsung heroes.
Yeah, definitely.
Can you tell us a bit about your ambassadors and your volunteers and what difference they make to your charity?
Well, my ambassadors, charity champions and patrons, I couldn't do what I do without them. And we've grown through the years. Just recently announced a new ambassador, Thomas Henley, who was gold Commonwealth medalist of Taekwondo. So we're already talking about projects that we're going to be doing. We've got Aston Avery, he's from Essex. He's also a radio presenter on Gateway. We do all things autism on Essex on the radio once a month. I've got Daniel, who's from Ireland. He's just recently wrote about his COVID experience because all his family actually got COVID. Thankfully, they're all okay now. So he's a wonderful opera singer, very talented young man. We have charity champions who are parents as well. Mums, dads, grandparents as well. We've got one patron that doesn't have a relative on the spectrum. Everybody that's with us, all our volunteers, all our charity champions and patrons, they're all parents of kids on the spectrum or autistic themselves. Okay. But we have one gentleman, Stephen Smith, who hasn't, but he's just grown with us and he's part of our family. So he said he's just learned so much and he loves what we do and he's very supportive. Yeah. So if people want to check out our charity ambassadors or patrons and, you know, read about them, it's all on the charity website under our family. So it's www.annakennedyonline.com. I'm always looking for patrons. I'm always looking for ambassadors and charity champions. So the champions look after specific areas. So say, for example, Marla Thapper, she lives in Croydon. She coordinates the Autism Hero Awards with me. So we work together, but I give projects to each of the charity champions so they can get their teeth into it. And we work together. So, we're growing all the time. And I'm a strong believer that charity is about donating your time and you're doing it because you want to do it. You're proud of what you're doing. You're driven. You're enthusiastic. So everybody that works for us, they're all volunteers. I'm a volunteer within the charity. I don't get paid in the charity. But we do it because we're very passionate. We want to create opportunities and we want to bang the drum about autism to raise awareness and acceptance.
Would absolutely, you know, push anyone forward that likes the sound of this and wants to go and check the website out. And we'll plug it again at the end.
Okay, thank you.
Just want to touch on as well something more personal to you, something that you went and did that some people will be very jealous about. You went and danced on Strictly Come Dancing, didn't you? Can you tell us a bit about your experience?
That was amazing. About 5 years ago, they've never done it since. The public would like to dance on Strictly, be one of the performers, and it was all part of Comic Relief and the people Strictly. So I didn't know that Lisa in the office nominated me. She kept it really quiet, and 11,000 people had been nominated. Wow. Can you imagine? Cool. And they narrowed it down to 25, and I was one of the 25. I didn't know anything about it, Lisa said it was really hard to keep it from me because sometimes they'd ring and I'd be in the office. So she'd have to pretend she was talking to someone else. And then they'd say, is she in the office? And she'd go, yes. And then she might go to the toilet to speak to them. She told me afterwards, or she'd go into her car or whatever. So anyway, they wanted to narrow it down to six people. I had to have a secret interview and they made out it was something else. So I was told to go to BBC Studios and I was told they wanted to make an ident of inspirational people. And they wanted to make it like a dancey ident. So Lisa said, oh, do you fancy this, you know, type of thing. So I said, oh, okay, then I'll give it a go. I didn't even know what an ident was at first. And then I started watching the ones that they did on BBC and I thought, all right, I get it now. So off I went. I went into a room on my own with a cameraman and someone that was interviewing me. And they asked me lots of different questions. And then they said, we're going to ask you to do something now. You know, it might seem a bit strange, but, you know, just go with it. So I thought, oh, okay, then. So they said, you're going to see someone on the screen. And they're going to do a few steps of the jive. They're a teacher. We want you to copy them. So I'm thinking, what's this for then? So they said they asked me to do it again just to see if I remembered it. And also, could I just put a little bit more oomph in it? So I did. And anyway, then they wanted to do a secret reveal. So I have been trying for years to get tickets to Strictly. And you just can't because there's just thousands of people that apply for these tickets. And anyway, they made out that my sister had applied and she'd won two tickets. So we were actually doing the conference and she made out at lunchtime when everyone was having a break. Oh, my God, I've just won two tickets to Strictly. Oh, that's amazing. Me and you were going, Anna, you know, all this sort of thing. So I thought, oh, that's absolutely amazing. So when we got there, when we were in the taxi, I didn't know. They'd rigged it and they'd put cameras in there. And my sister was so worried about letting it out the bag. So she was like particularly quiet, but trying to keep banter going. So anyway, the driver was told not to drop me off until 3 o'clock. And he basically arrived a bit earlier because there wasn't as much traffic as he thought there was going to be. So he said, oh, we're a little bit early. So I said, oh, it's okay. We can get out and, you know, have a little stand around. He went, no, it's okay. I've been told, no, I've got to. And I was thinking, why has he been told he's got dropped off at 3 o'clock? So he was like driving around and then he dropped us off. And then my sister stood in the wrong queue that we were supposed to be standing in. So then we went in. I sat down on the chair right at the front. And she said, you've got really good tickets. This is brilliant. So apparently they'd been rehearsing before I'd got there that they were going to film how my face would look when I was going to be told by Max from EastEnders, okay, he's going to tell me that he's going to be my mentor. So anyway, they tried all these different ways. So when I was there, I was too busy looking at everything. And then Anton was dancing and my face was on the floor of the dance floor saying, it's you, Anna Kennedy.
Wow.
But I didn't see it.
Oh.
Everyone's going. And I'm clapping, thinking. And then across the balcony, across the top, it said, Anna Kennedy, it's you. I didn't see that either. So in the end, my sister was going to me. And then you could see my face was just like, when you just can't believe it's happening. And they grabbed hold of me. And then they said, you know, you're going to be dancing on Strictly with, you know, five other people. So, so then the journey started. I met Robin Windsor. It went on for like 4 months.
Wow.
So I didn't practice for 4 months. It was just different bits of filming that we were doing, and then there was the big reveal who was going to be my partner, and then we started rehearsing the Charleston, and then on the night I was absolutely petrified. I thought I was going to be sick and everything, and anyway, we were last as well, which made it worse because obviously I was at the Charleston, and we got four tens. I couldn't believe it. It was just like, it was amazing. And also on that particular day, there was two bits that we'd never rehearsed. I had to start off on a bike, which I'd never rehearsed. And then I had to run up some stairs where the judges were and jump on Robin. And the judges were there and I had visions of me landing on Bruno or something. But it worked so well. It was amazing. I had 3 million impressions on my Twitter account from people watching it, and with my journey as well. There was things I shouldn't have filmed, but I thought, what are they going to do, pull me out? So because everyone was following me on my journey, all the moms were saying, oh, what's happening now, Anna, shows the costumes, you know, all those sort of things. So it was a brilliant journey, and I've kept in contact with Robin. He supported Autumn's Got Talent, and I've kept in contact with all the people that were chosen, five of us. We're all friends, so we've done things together. So it's amazing.
That's
like really surreal, and I see why people say you're in the Strictly bubble, because when you're in there, that's all you see. It was all very surreal, like not my usual life.
No, and the reason I've mentioned it is because I think it's so important, like being the face of such like a brilliant charity, to then be on something like that, like you said, it then creates links with people who can then spread awareness of what we're all trying to achieve. So I just want to lastly kind of touch on, Anna, we've spoke about earlier, you know, what's going to make a difference. And we spoke about training, because mm-hmm. that will make a difference to teachers. We spoke about, you know, ignorance still being out there. And part of what we're trying to do is get understanding of autism into schools, so young people can actually know what is autism. And it's not this big word that nobody ever hears about. Moving forward, what's your vision? What needs to change so things, you know, do get even better? And what's your vision for the charity and raising more awareness?
I think at present, it's going to be difficult because of COVID, because everything's changing.
Yeah.
And I've spoken to quite a few adults that now are worried about how shops are changing. They're saying that they don't want to go into shops because they've watched videos. So say, for example, even I watched it and I thought, even I find it confusing looking at, you know, these videos of like, follow the arrows, go this way, go that way. So all this change is going to make it difficult for our children, our adults. And I think we're going to have to work harder at raising more awareness of how this is going to affect our sons and our daughters. I've spoken to one adult who's just basically said, I'm not going shopping anymore. I'm not even going to get an MOT for my car because everything's changed. Because obviously our kids and adults love routine, don't they?
Yeah, of course.
And I think we need more people like you doing what you're doing. I think you're doing an amazing job going
Thank
into
you.
Schools. I've been into schools with my charity ambassadors and patrons. Like, for example, I went into a few schools with Ryan. He was talking about his experience of being bullied. I've been asked by parents to talk to schools in assemblies to talk about bullying because their children are being bullied. And you don't actually go into an assembly and say, that boy's been bullying my son. It's just you do a general awareness raising. And you know what? The kids are interested when you start talking about
Absolutely,
it. And they
yeah.
ask lots of questions. So with COVID now, I don't know how this is going to work and how it's going to change and have an impact on parents, on children. It's trying to get them back to school at the minute, isn't it? Because they're talking about there's going to be no school till September. I've even heard one parent that's saying that because there's so many kids at her school, it's a possibility that it could be January before the school opens.
Wow.
So
yeah.
I think we've got a lot of work to do. We had a lot of work to do before.
Yep.
We've got even more work to do now. So it's still about banging the drum. It's about raising awareness. It's about saying that our kids and our adults are not second-class citizens. You know, even when this COVID thing was going on, there was, you know, they hadn't even got figures of, you know, how many adults and children on the autism spectrum or with a disability had been affected or died. So all of these things, we're not to be pushed back. Our children and our adults, and basically, you know, they need to be, can't even think of the word because it just frustrates me. Even
yeah.
like with the dental stuff with Angelo, like he was suffering so much for the last 3-4 months. And I've spoken to parents again who've been suffering, and I had to battle to try and get him the treatment done. And it was only because I put it across social media that, you know, this is not fair. My son is suffering. He's having meltdowns. He's in a lot of pain. He's crying. Angelo doesn't cry. But someone then contacted me and said, let me try and help you. And that's when we took Angelo to the hospital at King's College because he had to have a general anaesthetic, have 2 extractions and 2 fillings. So he'd been suffering all that time. So it's not fair that we're put to the back of the queue. It's
totally.
Just like our kids, just a lot of them want to contribute to society. They want to get married. They want to have a girlfriend. They want to have a house. They want to have a job. It's just like they just need a little bit of extra support. And sometimes you just have to make those small, reasonable adjustments, and it can make
Absolutely.
A huge difference
yes.
in the child or the adult's life.
Yeah.
I just think we need to keep pushing forward with people like yourself and then obviously my ambassadors and my charity champions. And we're thinking out the box now because obviously it's affected our charity. We can't do our events. We can't do Autism's Got Talent. So right, okay, let's do workshops, create competitions. And keep thinking out the box of different things. And I saw that you're doing your performing arts where you've embracing a particular performer every night, and I've been watching a few of them. They've been great. So that's the sort of thing that we need to keep doing to keep autism in the forefront.
Absolutely. No, thank you very much. I think you've been so clear about so many issues that parents are going to really connect with, and young people as well. So originally, obviously, I'd planned this as a podcast, but if you're happy, Anna, I'd like to release it as a video as well, if you're happy.
No, it's fine. I'm happy. And if there's anything that I'm all about networking. There's a lot of people that are very precious. They don't want to network. It's like, oh, this is mine. This is mine.
But I ain't got time for that.
I'm not like that. It's like I collaborate with Born Anxious. She's got some fantastic T-shirts, no labels in them, because, you know, some of our kids are very sensory friendly. Like Angelo gets the scissors and cuts the labels out, so you end up with a big hole in the T-shirt. So it's about collaborating with other people and getting the word out there.
Could you just tell it one more time, your website, so that if people want to find out more, they can go and look?
Yeah, the charity website is www.annakennedyonline.com.
Okay, thank you so much for your time again, and I'm sure, as I said, lots of people will get so much from this, so thank you.
All right, good luck with everything that you do as well, Kieran. You're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Everyone is different and special in their own way. We should be including everyone, so let's start today.